Well, I won't try to take Emil's place, but I'll try to do what he did. Try to give us just a little bit. Many of you know that he has had to go back for work, and will be back this evening with us, okay? So what have we learned this week? Where are we right now? If you were to stand up to a mic, could you talk 5 minutes about what you've learned about the Colossians? That's what we're after. This is what we desire that you, if someone says to you, well, Brother Chuck, exactly what was Colossian error? That you would be able to give some kind of instruction to someone that would ask as such. We learned early on that when dealing with the Colossians in their difficulties, and this is a rule for you and I in dealing with people all the time, commend what you can commend that is of God. What you can mention that God has done, mention that. Paul did this with the Corinthian believers. He didn't go right into the problems, but he commended them for those things that God was doing amongst them. So he has reminded them in chapter 1 that they have a hope. It's not a hope of this world. It's a hope that is laid up for them in heaven. They have a hope that is laid up in heaven. They had heard before about it and the word of the truth of the gospel. And that gospel was intended to bring forth fruit in our lives. This is the whole purpose of the gospel. The one side, we're saved for glory. The other side, we're left here upon the earth, and the Lord Jesus is producing fruit for himself by the Spirit of God in our lives. So we see that in chapter 1. We also find the standard of chapter 1 is not to just do good things or not do bad things. Our standard is to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's an infinitely higher standard than just having a list of things that I shouldn't be doing. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We learned also that we had been delivered from the authority of darkness, and we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's there that we learn subjection. It's there that lordship is practiced in your life and mine. That I recognize that the one that is in that kingdom is the one to whom my allegiance is due here. We found again then these things about the Lord Jesus. Before he ever begins to set right the problems, he warns them about those that have caused the problems. You see, there were men that were working amongst them. They carried Bibles. They probably dressed nice and neat. They were respected in the community, but they were subverting the Word of God. And so we learned about these people. One was enticing words, the educated man, the man that would beguile the saints of God. Then we learned the remedy. Here is the man. Here is the remedy. Walk as you received Christ. As you have received him, I want you to walk in him. We learn secondly about the philosopher. We learn that he does not need the word of God. He does not need doctrine. He has his own standards. He has his own morality. And Satan uses him to trip up young and old. He sets aside the word of God. He never speaks about the fall. He never speaks about sin. Your conscience is not bothered if you're under the teaching of this man. Paul warns, beware of that person. Thirdly, we learned about another world. Another world, another sphere. How can I enter into that world? Through death. Jesus died literally. You and I die in figure. We're buried with him by baptism unto death. And then we come up as he did literally. We come up on the other side and there's a new world. That's where our Lord Jesus is. He's in that new world. But not only do we have a new world, but we learned yesterday that we have been quickened together with him. We have new life. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Not an old world, but a new world. Not an old life, but a new life. And you and I here then to produce fruit for God. We then learned yesterday that there were others that would beguile you, that would look at an unseen world and would tempt you and I to enter into that world of angelic beings. And we learned yesterday that the business of angels is for us, but our business is not with them. We leave that world alone. They are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them that shall be the heirs of salvation. We see them all through the life of the Lord Jesus. We see them in the Old Testament, but that is a world that we stay away from as far as where we're going. You see, that's not a world. And when we get in touch with that world, we get in touch with many things. The demonic world, it's real. It's out there. Tony mentioned to us yesterday, here's someone that's going to look at somebody's hand and they're going to begin to try to tell them what is before you in life. Young people, stay away from it. It is deadly. It is deadly. We want no part of that. Lastly, we saw, in fact, that the great problem of the Colossian believers was not holding Christ as head in the assembly. He did not have his place in their lives. And so now that brings us, we saw where you and I, each one of us, has that from God, from Christ, that is unique. Dear brother, I don't know what the gift is the Lord has given you, but I do know this. You are not here without a gift. I would say the same to sisters. When Christ ascended high on high, he gave gifts unto men. You have something from him to use for his glory in this world. If it's a sister, it's used certainly in the appropriate way of not in the place of leadership or usurping authority over a man. If it's a brother, the brothers usually, always I believe in the New Testament, have the public role of teaching, exhorting, of ministering to the saints of God. You have something. You've been created special for him to live your life here. He could have taken us right home. So now we come, and we're not going to spend a long time, but we're going to look at verse 20. At the actual working out of this truth. I always say this. You'll hear me say this. You'll hear Emil say it. You'll hear John say it. You'll hear Tony say it. Doctrine is practical. If you want to know what my doctrine is, you don't have to come up and ask me. Stick around me and watch me. You'll learn very quickly what doctrine I hold. If you ask people, they may tell you what they hold or what they think they hold, but you begin to see the life. You begin to realize, wait a minute, there's a discrepancy here. They say they hold one thing, but doctrine or teaching affects what I do, where I go, what I say, how I do it. It affects every phase of my life. So here were these that were, in fact, wanting to put a set of rules on the back of the board over here. And you as Christians, I want you to look at these. These are the things that you're supposed to do. These are the things you're not supposed to do. This is this last group, isn't it? I'll open that to others that can help us.